congregation, boys and girls, if I asked you what it meant to be cheerful or to be of good cheer, what would you think that meant? Maybe happy? If I asked you, what did it mean to find comfort, that you needed to be comfortable, that it meant to be one who has comfort, what would you think that meant? One who feels at home, one who feels safe? Or what if I told you that you needed to be someone who was courageous, that you needed to have courage? What would you think that meant? You needed to be brave, you needed to be bold, you needed to go forward, perhaps even in light of scary things. Well, as different as these words may sound, to be cheerful, to take comfort, and to be courageous, they're all very similar. They're all very closely related, particularly the Bible thinks of them in the time of the New Testament. They're all very similar. In our text set before us in the Gospel of John, chapter 16, verse 33, the Lord Jesus says, "Be of good cheer." Be of good cheer. The same word is used other places. Like, for example, in Matthew chapter 9, verse 2, "Be of good cheer." He says, "Thy sins be forgiven thee." But in Luke chapter 8, verse 48, the same word is used and is translated, "Be of good comfort." Be of good comfort. And it's used many other ways. Not only cheer, not only comfort, in a variety of different connections and combinations with different things, but also, like in our text, John chapter 16, verse 33, in Acts chapter 28, verse 15, we're told they took courage. Same word in every case. Cheer, comfort, and courage. Now in English, strength in the face of grief or pain is how we often define courage. Cheer can mean many things, but one of the common meanings is cheerfulness, optimism, or confidence. And comfort, well, even in the word itself, the two parts of it, come and fort, means with strength, to strengthen. And thus we can see why these words overlap so much. To be of good cheer, to be of good comfort, to take courage. But what is the Lord really meaning here? In verse 33, as he tells his disciples and us this morning, "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation," or "you will have trouble, but be of good cheer." Be of good cheer. And perhaps the way we would think of it best in English in our contemporary days is to be of good courage. I have overcome the world. Our Lord Jesus in this verse is explaining how his people can find peace, how his people can be courageous amidst trouble and hardship. It's a very striking situation that they are facing. They are facing tribulation in the world. The Lord Jesus tells them so. "In these things I have spoken in me you might have peace." And by contrast, in Jesus' peace, in the world, you'll have tribulation. You're going to go through trouble, hardship, pain, and challenge, but your peace will be, he says, in me. He'll go on to explain how that is possible, because he says, "Be courageous. You want to find your peace in me amidst this trouble in this world? Be courageous. Be bold, be strong, find strength in the face of the grief or pain or trouble of the world." Well, what does he base that command on? Find peace in me, because there's going to be trouble in the world, and you can do it by being courageous because of what I have done. "In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer." Be courageous. I have overcome the world. He's very honest about the situation, the tribulation or trouble in the world. Now, in the immediate context, the trouble that is going to be facing them is the fact he is going away. He is leaving them. We read about that together. He will leave them, and they will face death. Not just hardship, not just sickness, not just pain. People will want to murder them. He says, they shall put you out of the synagogues. They'll be cast out of their places of worship, alienated from their friends and family and their fellow men. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God's service. And these things will they do unto you because they have not known the Father nor me. That's trouble, isn't it? People want to murder you. You lose your friends. You lose your family. All for the sake of Jesus. And the same time, they're the ones saying they're doing it for Jesus. That's what was going on. The Jews were saying, we follow the God of Moses and the God of Abraham. You follow this Jesus guy. We follow the Old Testament. We're going to kill you now. And they are losing everything. They're losing everything. But he is going away. It's one thing to have hardship. It's another thing to have hardship and trouble like that if you've got someone who loves you and cares for you, pulling for you. Isn't it nice? We could say, perhaps, boys and girls, when dad's home. There's trouble in the family. Kids are fighting. Mom's had a really busy day and she's overworked. Dad comes home and what does he do? Okay, kids, you do this. I'll do this. We'll take care of this. And we do this together. And everything's going to be okay because dad is going to be there and he's going to set everything right. Dad's got it now. It's an amazing thing. It's a blessed thing. When a father rightly takes his place in the home, there's so much comfort, so much encouragement for everyone. They don't have that comfort or encouragement, or so they think, because Jesus just said people are going to kill them, and he's going to leave them. He says in verse 5, but now I go my way to him that sent me, and none of you asketh me, whither goest thou? But because I have said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your hearts. Threat of death and trouble. Jesus leaving. How could they not but be sad? The one who called them, the one who strengthened them, the one who equipped them, the one who gave them their purpose. Now he's leaving? You can see why he'd be filled with sorrow, why they would be filled with sorrow, rather. But it's good because the Comforter will come, the Holy Spirit. And he will guide them. He will help them. He will comfort, strengthen them as he is the one that will come alongside them. The Lord Jesus goes on to talk more about these things, but you can see why they understand they will have trouble. Why they will understand they will have trouble. Notice it wasn't just trouble from without in the chapter. Jesus says people will try and kill them. They'll be alienated and alone. That he will be leaving, but that indeed the Comforter will come. But notice there was trouble from inside them too. As we read from chapter 16 together, the trouble inside them was their own lack of understanding. They said, Jesus, why art thou speaking to us in Proverbs? Just tell us plainly, black on white. Jesus often spoke in Proverbs or parables, not to reveal the truth through a stunning story, not to reveal the truth in the midst of a very wise and thoughtful saying, but as Scripture it says in the book of Isaiah and throughout the Gospels, he taught in parables to hide the truth to some and reveal it to others. And so often when he gave the parables, what needed to happen? Not his story was so clear, they walked away saying, I understand it now. After they heard a beautiful story, a parable, they said, what did that mean? Can you just tell us what you want to say? How often don't we want things plainly spoken? Stories can be nice. Proverbs can be nice, but the comfort of our hearts rests in the clarity of God. as the Holy Spirit grants us understanding to the truth of its teachings. Their problem from within is they didn't understand. Just tell us plainly. And the Lord Jesus then said just that. His disciples said unto him in verse 29, "Lo, now speakest thou plainly, and speakest no proverb." They thought they knew. "Now we are sure that thou knowest all things, and needest, and knowest not that any man should ask thee. By this we believe that thou camest forth from God." They think their internal problem of not understanding has been overcome. Jesus says, though, "Do you now believe?" That is how he answers them when they say, "We understand." He says, "Do you really? Do you really understand?" They thought they did. They understood he was going away. They understood he would come back. They understood the Comforter would come. They did not understand that he would die, because they would abandon him and he would be left alone. They did not understand the depth of their own sin to a fuller extent yet. They knew they needed him savingly. They knew they could not save himself. They looked to him as the Christ, but they still didn't know what would happen yet. They still didn't have a full understanding of how weak they were. Trouble from without and trouble from within. What an amazing thing it must have been for them to experience, not only knowing people will try and kill them, they'll be alienated. They're confused now, and then they think they understand. And then the Lord Jesus gently, wisely, purposefully, as it were, yanks the rug out from under them and tells them what they will do. "Behold, the hour cometh, yea, is now come, that ye shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone." You're going to forsake me. You're going to leave me. You say you understand. You promise to follow me. You will all desert me. That must have been hard on them. And what a blessed thing he goes on and says, "But I am not alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me," as if to say, don't worry about me. You're going to desert me, but don't worry about me. My Father is with me. And as if to say further, you think you understand, but you don't get it. You're starting to, but not completely. You have problems within, we could say. You have problems without, tribulation coming from this world. And he says, this is why I told you this in the beginning. "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace." You're going to feel all turned around and upset because of what you have to go and deal with from without and from within. Lots of reasons to not have peace. "I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." He's honest about the situation, the trouble in the world, trouble outside and trouble within. Does that sound familiar to you? Trouble outside in the world. Maybe no one's trying to kill you. Maybe no one's out to get you. Maybe at school or at work someone's bullying you, treating you badly. Maybe your boss doesn't understand. Maybe your employees aren't respectful. Trouble in the world. Maybe the doctor gives the diagnosis of the sickness. Maybe the effects of age are catching up with you, and the pain in the joints due to arthritis is a constant reminder. Maybe the broken relationship continues to break your heart. Maybe the loss of the loved one is always felt. The spot next to you in the bed is always empty. Even if you've moved house twice, you're still alone. Trouble in the world. We look at all the happenings in the news, the politics in the United States, wars and rumors of wars throughout the world, hurricane, ice storm, windstorm, devastation. Trouble in the world. Trouble in the world. What about within? What about within you? Within me? Weakness of understanding? Confusion? Pride? Self-righteousness? Just when we think we got it, the Lord blessedly and humbly shows us our pride will lead to a fall. And as we tumble, and rightly so, he catches us. Trouble from within, trouble from without. Tribulation in the world. It's not all that different from us today. Here in the context, it's speaking of marvelous, significant things of the purposes and history of God and the world and the universe. The Son of God has come in the flesh. The Son of God will be victorious and go, and the Holy Spirit will come and equip his people to spread the gospel to the ends of the earth. And when that is done, he shall return as a glorious king. The grand cosmic scale of everything. Trouble in the world, peace in him, because he is the mighty conqueror. But it's not just true on, we could say, the macro or the really big level. It's true on the micro. Even the tiniest things of our lives and of our hearts. Do you know trouble in the world? The comfort, the courage, the peace that he gave them is the same by the grace of God for us. The same command given to those who are in the midst of tribulation from within and without, the same command he gave them, he gives to us. He gives them this marvelous promise of peace. He says, "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace." You should have peace. You're not going to have any peace in the world. You're not going to have any peace from without. You're not going to have any peace from within yourself. You're going to have peace in me. Be of good courage. Be of good courage. Or be of good cheer. And this command comes forth to them in a powerful way to help them, strengthen them, encourage them, to lift them up amidst their trouble, to direct them to the way they will have peace. To those who are in the situation of tribulation, he gives this command to be of good cheer or be of good courage. First, we see this command really by way of implication is necessary. It's an absolute necessity. We've seen it in the trouble they'll face without and the trouble they're facing within. The coming death and persecution. His leaving, their weakness of understanding of mind and heart. It's absolutely necessary they be directed to take courage, that they be directed to be of good cheer. So if you find yourself weak, if you find yourself confused, if you find no peace in this world, that's the way it's supposed to be. That is the way it is supposed to be. The Lord Jesus, and I'm sorry if this sounds difficult and harsh, but it's very true. Boys and girls, it is true for you. Young people, teenagers, college age people, prime of life, it's true for you. Mothers, fathers, established families, as you see God's goodness to you and your families, it's true for you. Older ones, as you are facing death and you feel the confirmation of it in your bodies, it's true for you. We all need to hear this and we all need to be reminded of it. Our peace, our strengthening, our comforting, our sense of it will be all right, needs to be in Christ. And the Lord Jesus will not have us find it anywhere else. Tribulation in the world, within and without. Peace only with him. The tribulation and the trouble is his way of driving you to the necessity of him time and time and time and time again. Because if you find peace in the trouble, if you find peace in the world, if you find peace in yourself, you just became an idolater and began worshiping a false god. And child of God, as you have sought to find your peace in this world, and you sought to find this peace in yourself, what has happened? How long did it last? Minutes? Hours? Days? And what happens? It fails you. The peace that you built on yourself, the peace you built in the world, fails you. Fails you. Of a very clear necessity, he gives to be of good cheer, because we're facing trouble. And we must look for that peace in him. But this is not only present out of necessity, we could say, but notice it is present because of Jesus' compassion. Because of Jesus' compassion. He doesn't have to speak to them plainly. He doesn't have to warn them of the tribulation and trouble that's going to come. He could simply leave and give them the comforter, and they'll figure it out as they go. You ever notice how parents act in compassion to their children, even in the small things? Mommy and Daddy are going to be going away later on today, and the babysitter will come, and the babysitter will play games with you and take care of you, and then after you're in bed, we'll come home late. Tell them ahead of time so they know what's coming. That doesn't mean sometimes parents still don't kind of sneak out when the child is already busy and having a good time. But they told them ahead of time, so when they realize, oh, they're gone, it doesn't take them completely by surprise. They're equipped for it. How many times in workplace situations or at school don't employees and teachers do the same thing, or employers and teachers do the same thing with their employees and their students? We're going to do this now. This is what's going to happen. You need to understand so you can continue with your work, so you can continue with your studies. Say it's just common sense to let them know. But it's born out of love, out of a concern for the employee, for the student, to use my earlier example, the child. Here the Lord Jesus does it for those who are going to be facing tribulation for his sake. In me you will have peace. So he gives them this command, so they will always look for their peace in the right place. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. It's a command, but it's a glorious, compassionate one. He doesn't have to give it, but he sees their need and so seeks to strengthen them through it. And he does the same to us. He does the same to us. Tells us to be of good cheer. Be courageous. You're going to face trouble. As we'll see further, he says, look to me. Look to me. And here we see his wisdom, his absolute wisdom, the necessity of the command, the compassion of the command, and the wisdom of this command. He knows. He can't tell them, look to the world for your strength, because it will be idolatry and you will find none. He tells them, don't look to yourself, because in you, even these people who have received his teaching, been enlightened by his Spirit, have performed miracles and preached the word to others, they're still confused and weak. There's no way he can expect them at all to look to themselves. Rather, he does what must take place. He sees the necessity of their situation. He is filled with compassion for them, so he does what will honestly help them. This is quite frankly marvelous, because it directs us to our weakness, and as we'll see, the full sufficiency of his strength. He says, be of good courage, be of good cheer. To use, again, language perhaps we'd be more familiar with, take strength in the face of the grief and pain, and be optimistic and confident in light of what is coming, because I have overcome the world. Tribulation, trouble, pain, sorrow, hardship, weakness within and without, don't worry. It will be okay. Go forward, because I've already done it. I've already been there. I've already taken care of it. It's an amazing thing. Don't be afraid because of me. Don't feel overwhelmed because of me. Be at peace because of me. Go forward in confidence because of me. You read these words with unbelieving eyes and you think, what pride is this? What pride is this? What fool would ever say that? Tell other people, take confidence in me. Yeah, right. That's the kind of thing dictators say. That's the kind of thing crazy leaders say. But if we look at it through eyes of faith, you know what happens? You see those words with a believing heart, and you know what you say? Praise the Lord, thank God. Because you see, there is nothing in yourself, and it is all in Him, and He has done it. Such wisdom in giving us exactly what we need, even though we don't need it initially. When your mind is closed and your heart is closed and you're still in your sin and you haven't been enlightened, you don't see it. The Spirit comes and opens your eyes to your weaknesses and your troubles, and you need Him. Children of God, once they've been enlightened by the power of the Spirit, once they believe, what happens? Well, they put their trust in Him and they seek to follow Him, remembering what He has done for them. But then because of their battle with indwelling sin and the temptations of the devil and all tantalizing things of the world, what do? They forget the God who bought them. They forget about Jesus. They start delighting in this world. They start trusting in themselves. And the Lord comes along again with tribulation, trial, and trouble to bring them back to Him. Either case, the beautiful wisdom of the Lord in directing us completely to Himself. Does that sound smart to you? Does that sound wise to you to trust in Jesus? As you face tribulation, as you face trouble, as you face hardship, do you find your comfort, your strength, your encouragement, and your cheer in Him? Well, how can that be? That is clearly what He says, but we'll consider how that can be by the grace of God, how the source of our courage, how the source of our strength to honor this command to be of good cheer is realized. But first, well, we've seen this command and its necessity, its compassion, and its wisdom. But where is the power to keep this command? What is the basis of this command? Where is its source? Not only the giver of it, but where do we find the strength as we see the giver of it to keep it? To put it another way, quite simply, in the language of the text, when He says, be of good cheer, how on earth are we supposed to do that? When we are to be of good courage, how are we supposed to do that? With all the trouble from without and all the trouble from within, how are we to be of good courage? Well, quite simply, as I mentioned previously, in the context of the wisdom of this command, it's Jesus Himself. And two particular aspects of the person and work of Jesus is highlighted here for us. The first in connection with the peace, the other in direct connection with the command He gives. First, the peace. It is peace through His word. He says, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. Notice the connections. Peace admits the tribulations. Peace admits the tribulations. Peace, as we've seen, in Him. Peace in Him in the midst of the tribulations. I have spoken. I have spoken. You want peace amidst the tribulations. He says, start with my word. My word brings you to me. And once you have me, you have peace. It's simple, Very straightforward. You would live a life of courage. You would live a life of cheer. You would seek to obey this command, follow it, and be a partaker of all the blessings that come with it. Well, firstly, noting the source of the command, who gives it, note the power of it. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. Notice how this works. The words he has spoken we find recorded here. Jesus himself. And from that, peace. Notice how this works. The word without Jesus doesn't bring you to peace. The word without Jesus doesn't bring you to peace. Further, Jesus without the Jesus and peace doesn't work unless it begins with the Word. And if you have the Word and you have Jesus, you will have peace. All three things are necessary according to the first aspect of this command, to find this peace, to be of good courage or be of good cheer. The Word, Jesus, and peace. If you get these things in any other order, if you leave them out in any other way, it ain't going to work. It isn't going to work. That's just simply the truth from Christ. That's why it's so important you have the Word. You have the physical scriptures. You have the scriptures in your mind, and you have them blessed and powerfully in your heart, that you rest on them completely, because they direct you to Christ. And the only reason that you cherish and love and value His Word is because Christ has become precious to you by the work of the Spirit using the Word. And only as the Word and the Spirit have directed you to Christ will you then have peace. Any other way is broken and backwards and wrong. No matter what you may think you need, you are mistaken. Anytime we do it different than Jesus, it's wrong. That first, peace through His Word. So as these things are all connected, the Word, Jesus, and peace, we see quite clearly, give tremendous emphasis to the Word. To the Word. This is not easy. I know for some of you, English is your second language. And the best you might be able to do is a little piece of paper that gives a devotion giving one verse. That might be, as you struggle, one of the hardest things for you to do. Maybe you're not even a reader. By the grace of God, seeking to do that. It's not easy. Some of you can do much more. You move beyond the basic devotionals till you can search the scriptures. You grab a pen, you grab a piece of paper, and you want to start figuring out how Romans teaches misery, deliverance, and gratitude and the structure of its chapters. You want to read and study Bibles, the bits about background information, about times and places and people, and how different structures and themes develop through the epistle so you really understand it. That is awesome. That is great. You mine the scriptures, you search the scriptures. Maybe you don't care too much for commentaries, but you just read and read and read and read and read. That's amazing too. And whether you can make connections between Jesus here in the Old Testament prefigured and Jesus in the New, and you see how Paul's development of these doctrines and the history with Abraham and how predestination and adoption all fit together, that's marvelous. Or whether you simply read it, and as you read it, you find comfort for your soul. Maybe to some point you don't even understand it. You just do. That is blessed. But search the Word. Start here. Come to the Word. That brings you to Christ, which brings you to the peace. And that's how you, by the grace of God, can take good courage, be of good cheer. amidst all the trouble, amidst the pain, amidst the confusion, amidst the difficulty, it will be all right, and you follow your captain and king through your life, trusting all will be well, because you have that sense of peace, because the word directed you to him, away from this world and away from yourself. But that's just the first one here in the context of the peace. The second one is the courage because of his victory. There is not only the idea of the word and Christ and peace directing us to this command he gives, leading us to it in the flow of the text and the argument. He says, as he gives this command, be of good cheer, and here's how. Now the second way, as it were, I have overcome the world. I have been victorious. To put it another way, Jesus said, be courageous, because I have been. I know you're not, he says. I know you're not courageous. You're confused, you're weak, you're sinful. I know. I understand. I know how necessary this is for you. I have a great love for you, so I give you this wise command. Look at me. If ever there was a man that was courageous, it was Jesus. It was Jesus. What did he leave behind? He left behind all his glory and reputation to come as one of us, born under the law. What a thing. Kings don't follow laws. Kings give laws. It's one of the basic principles of monarchy. And here is this king coming under the law to deal with sickness, pain, death, and trouble that he felt himself, that he witnessed in others. He filled the fall, done what needed to be done, and he would suffer the very wrath of God. Even though that is yet coming, even though that is yet coming, even though there are tears of blood, even though he wants the cross to possibly pass from him, but the Father's will be done, he here with such confidence and such marvelous power, even though it is yet in the future, I have overcome the world. I have beaten the universe. I have overcome the devil. Your sin is not a problem. I've taken care of it. I've done it. He was a man of great courage. Don't think it was easy for him either, because he was God. We've already just briefly mentioned, you may remember, that this cross would pass from me, sweating blood because of all the tension and stress. So much. At times, he was exhausted from so much stress and pain. And what did he need? As he's done battle with the devil to be ministered to by angels, what did he constantly need to do to be alone with his Father? He sought to escape the people, it would seem, at times. And when he couldn't retreat to peaceful time with his Father, he trusted the supply of the Spirit to do what his Father had set before him. Boys and girls, do you know another name for Jesus? It's Joshua. That's all the name Jesus really is. The name Jesus is the same as the name Joshua. And what did the Lord tell Joshua? What did he tell Joshua? In Joshua chapter 1, verse 6, so we're just going to look at a few examples of it. The Lord says, be strong and of good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land, and I swear, or which I swear unto their fathers to give them. To be strong and of a good courage. Or we could say, be of good cheer. You're going in to face these Canaanites. You're going to have tribulation within, tribulation without. All this trouble, Joshua, keep going forward. Keep looking to me. For unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land. The Lord Jesus is the one who went forward courageously and got us the land. Verse 7. Only be thou strong and very courageous. Be of good cheer. that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not thou from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whatsoever thou goest. He came under the law, fulfilling the law of Moses, being of good courage and strong. And then one last example, verse 9. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. The Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. He told them, I am not alone, because the Father is with me, in verse 32. It's Joshua. It's Jesus. It is he who is of good courage, he who is strong, he who would lead his people to victory. And he looks at them, thinking perhaps of Joshua, who is a picture of himself, aware of the surety of the work he will accomplish. And what does he say? I have overcome the world. And because of that, he says, be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. Not be happy, although that, of course, comes by extension, could say. Not only be confident, be faithful and sure that this is true, but be courageous. Follow me. And in the midst of all the trouble, in the midst of all the weaknesses within and without, in the midst of whatever you face, you will have peace because of me. Because I have overcome the world. Because the greater than Joshua has done more greatly than Joshua could ever have imagined. So as you face trouble, tribulation in this world, the way they were called to, how will you deal with it? Will you be deceived by your own supposed strength and trust in yourself? Will you be rolled over by the troubles of this world and of your own heart and surrender to despair? Or will you go forth in confidence, in good cheer, in courage, trusting his peace brought to you by and for his sake, which he testifies to in his word, and because of his victory? That is the only way you can go. That is the only way we must go. And my unconverted, unbelieving, hard-hearted friend, if you have never thought of that before, even though you may have been bathed in these things at home, at school, and in church, since your birth, as the Spirit is striving with you now, take it to mind and heart. Be honest and aware of your tribulation and trouble. Be honest about the weakness within. And is there no glory, no comfort, and no hope for you in his overcoming the world? Repent of your own pretended strength and look to his. Child of God, in the midst of your weaknesses, in the midst of your troubles, in the midst of your failings, do you find no hope? That is right. Do you at times wonder how in yourself you're going to do it? That is right. There is no good cheer, there is no confidence, there is no courage in the flesh of the mightiest prince or man, woman, or charismatic leader, nor in yours, only in his glorious victory. Let that ever be our source of good cheer, our source of confidence, our source of courage, that he has overcome the world. Amen. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank thee for the work of the Lord Jesus, and we ask for his leading, his strength, his power to be ours by that efficacious work of the Spirit. We thank thee, Lord Jesus, for all thy marvelous good-doing work and all thy courage, how thou didst pick up thy cross and bear it for the likes of us. Help us, Lord, ever to look at thee in that frame of mind and heart which is right, as the conqueror and victor over all things. Our Lord and our God, we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.